everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Hi, Hendrika. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Haley. Nice to be here again.
Thank you so much for joining us. So this is a topic near and dear to my heart. I'll just come right out and say that my son is diagnosed gifted, although it's not an official diagnosis, so we're going to get to that. And originally, I didn't really feel like I needed to talk about giftedness because I felt like it was a very personal thing and there really aren't that many gifted kids out there. But then just in my life, I ran into two or three stories of parents almost in tears because their kids were basically flunking out of school and they have also been identified as gifted. So I want to talk to you about giftedness, what it is, and what the resources are here in Luxembourg. Before we jump into that, you've been on the show three times now, so I just want to say thanks.
Very welcome. It's my pleasure.
You get an award for the most times on the show. And you've talked about bullying, you've worked in schools, you have a PhD in creativity. What makes you qualified to talk about giftedness in kids?
Yeah, so my background is scientific creativity, which is, in fact, on what the difference is between intelligence and creativity. The last years, I've worked very much with gifted children, and my background is scientific creativity. So that is, in fact, about intelligence, like a superior kind of intelligence, when we also add creative intelligence to it. And we know from research that they are related up to a certain point, and then you can be even more intelligent or also more creative intelligent. To be intelligent is something you need to be very creative, but there's more needed to be extremely intelligent and creative. There's more needed for that.
So how do you define giftedness? And also, why is it such a lame name? This is, again, going to be a personal episode for me. When I was realizing, I think my son is really smart, I got the stink eye from other moms. Oh, my kid's really smart too. Anybody who truly has a gifted kid knows that it's not just about being smart. It comes with all sorts of other things. So why is it called gifted? And can you define the difference between just Johnny's really smart and Johnny's gifted?
It's such a great question, because when we look back at the beginning of testing for giftedness, very early on, there was Professor Binet in France who developed a test to see what children needed, what kind of help in schools. So it wasn't about, are you more intelligent than someone else? At the same time, we have some big scholars who distinguish between, for example, fluid intelligence and crystallized intelligence. Fluid intelligence is that, how good are you at reasoning with new information? And crystallized intelligence is, what have you learned? So from experience, and how are you going to use that? And so when we go back to this testing, it's a real big thing, and it's so actual today, because it's a huge question you ask, because the intelligence test that we use today is really based on mathematical, logical thinking, but it doesn't include what maybe are most important things, because you have to not forget that people who are very gifted can also do very stupid things and not be wise, for example. A good definition of giftedness is from Rena Subotnik, Professor Rena Subotnik, who I also work with, and she, together with her colleagues, she says, giftedness implies an ability to perform at the extreme upper end of the distribution of a certain area. I like that very much, because there's another professor, Gardner, who says we have multiple intelligences. You can be so smart in so many different things. And the problem is we can't measure them all today. So when you ask who is gifted and who is not gifted, personally, now I talk really from my own experience as a psychologist and working with gifted children, but also a lot of other children, I have a feeling if we could only test, I would doubt if there would be any child who is not gifted in something. I'll just give you a little example. There was a girl once in school, she had, you know, there are 10 different things. She was so dyslexic, ADHD, autism, I don't know, everything.
She had all the diagnoses.
Yes, you can possibly get. And then I really wanted to understand, you know, this girl very well, and found out she had an extremely good smell and she loved cooking. And then you just see, what are we doing? That's something that really is close to my heart, is all these etiquettes that we put on children, on gifted children.
Also,
etiquette. Yeah, diagnoses, different diagnoses in general, but also on gifted children, we put too easily, I think, all kind of diagnoses on children.
Oh, so you think gifted kids can be misdiagnosed? And why isn't giftedness a diagnosis? Because it's not in the DSM manual.
No, because in fact, this is completely normal. You're just better at something than others, statistically. You just have more of it. What it means, but in practicality, they can also have their specific difficulties in a population where others are not so good as they are, and that makes the problem. So if they're in a school and they feel very different than the others, that can make them think about what's wrong with me. And because they think so much, they can get emotional problems, like something must be wrong with me, because they're just developing as a child, making their own identity. And very gifted children, for example, accept less the status quo of all the rules that are there. So they want to redefine everything. It's actually a whole internal work to become the person you can be. It's not an easy road to go. So we say gifted, but it really is, from my experience, not such an easy thing to grow up and develop as a gifted child. And then what you get is, for example, parents who are very worried, what's wrong with my child?
You said giftedness means that you are, if you picture a bell curve, you're at the end, like the charts of the bell curve in a specific thing. But just because you're off the charts in that specific thing doesn't mean that you're necessarily good at, and in fact may struggle in other areas. So if you're a parent, what are the things to look out for if you don't know that your kid is gifted? Maybe your kid is struggling in school and maybe giftedness could be a thing. And then the other thing that I want to ask you is, if anyone could be gifted, then what's the big deal? I had a school say to me, we think all kids with growth mindset can be high potential. So therefore, your kid doesn't need anything.
When I say every child has their own talents and gifts, it's actually a very big deal that we try to help every child develop in their own specific area and what they can do. That is the problem, that on the one hand, we need to screen to understand who they are, these children, and we don't have precise enough instruments nowadays, you could say. So for example, in other areas, in music, for example, I can really see if this child has very good hearing, has very good feel for rhythm, and so they can be more identifying talent at a young age. But when we look at more intellectual gifts, we only have this kind of rough intelligence test, but not really in what specific area, where does it go?
That's the IQ test, right?
Yes, that's the IQ test. IQ tests are, you could say, a little bit too rough. But at the same time, we have to start somewhere. And what is giftedness? When they're very young, they're already ahead of other children in their intellectual thinking.
If you have a three-year-old who's teaching himself to read or can count.
Or before already.
What else? What about a kid that's, I don't know, really good with gross motor skills at three?
Which is at the same time being very ahead, maybe intellectually, asking very difficult questions about the world and the universe. At the same time, being a child, of course, emotionally. So there's these discrepancies also. And just being ahead really with, that is a precocious child, what we say, is like being ahead a few, 1 or 2 or years to others intellectually, when you sense that. But it's always difficult for parents because they don't see a whole lot of children. They just see their own child. It's not easy for parents. And that's why it's good that they can go to people who see many children to say, yes, I can see your child is very precocious. And that means we have to take care. And it's not because there's something wrong, but because the other children are not there. So this can cause like secondary problems. You understand? So
yeah, I lived through
because
that.
Yeah.
In public school in California, my son could read from 3. And in kindergarten, they were trying to get him to, I don't know, sound out words or what even letter identification was. And that was just a disaster. He was drawing DNA double helixes in preschool and knew what they were, like the code things that you memorize in biology and then forget. He knew. And so I think that is a whole other problem, because those kids are obviously going to tune out and stop loving learning. The kindergarten teacher was like, we're teaching him how to be a student. And I'm like, cool, but can you teach him how to be a student and teach him stuff that he doesn't know?
Exactly. This motivation thing is super important. When children are very young, you could identify them by their potential with these tests. And later on, you can see what are they achieving and where are they really using their potential. Because for that, you need a lot of psychosocial skills to develop it as well. So if you don't know from the beginning they are, you maybe miss out on training them as well, these psychosocial skills to actually develop it. And what are these psychosocial skills? For example, to dare to overcome difficulties, learn, still to learn. And so when that is not challenged, when they're in fact understimulated in schools, they can, like you say, check out and lose their motivation. And that's why it is important to also help this group of kids early on to still learn to be resilient, to make sure that they get enough challenges to develop their talent.
Can we talk about misdiagnoses for a second? Because as you're talking about this, and we're just saying the word checking out in school, not paying attention, not learning, getting bad grades, that sounds like ADHD to me.
Yeah, that comes back a little bit to what I said before. I do think I worked actually a few years only with ADHD children, and that experience gives me more possibilities to discern to between what is one or the other. And that is difficult for parents to see. The symptoms might be the same, but it's the underlying reason is not the same. Because if you're a super quick thinker, simply super, super quick, which is also part of giftedness, but the others in the class feel like snails, you become a little bit, who wouldn't become a little bit nervous from that, right? So it's easy to say, then you must have ADHD because you're so fidgety and so not calm like the others. So the symptom is the same, but the underlying reason is not. And that is why sometimes this testing is helpful to say, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that you're a bit different and that's okay.
My position is there's nothing wrong with you, even if you do have ADHD.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
by the way, ADHD is a whole thing, but can I just say one something about this diagnosis?
Yeah.
Because I think it can be helpful if something is really severe and no one understands what's going on to really look at these kind of syndromes like ADHD. But in general, I think we're going to a world where there's too many of these diagnoses and people grow up feeling as if they're not whole or not completely good. Whereas the reality is, of course, that everybody in the world has weaknesses, strengths. Why do we put this on children? I know adults who even feel a little bit like, but I wasn't complete because I was diagnosed with this or that. We take all the strength away. So I think it's so important to, if you diagnose, to actually make sure you want to almost forget about it or make sure that this child will never, do you understand what
well,
I mean?
Yeah, I understand, but I'm not sure I agree, because if you have a diagnosis, you get accommodations. Those accommodations help you. I know parents whose kids, I obviously have no background except for living this for 9 years. Those kids have ADD or ADHD, and they're just trying to white knuckle it, saying focus. That is not going to help. I think these accommodations exist for a reason, to make the playing field level. And I've heard to so many, for example, autistic adults who were diagnosed later in life, and it's, oh, thank God. I thought that something was wrong with me this whole time. I had all these shortcomings and I couldn't get it together. And now I realize my brain works differently.
So I very much agree with that. But I think we should go a step further. We diagnose and then we focus too much on it. So it's good to incorporate that. And yes, it can be very helpful to understand and also, of course, accommodate and to understand these things. But I think we focus too much on it.
Give me an example of how you focus too much on it.
When we simply look also at research, if you have a strength-based approach to learning, so in fact, look what children can do instead of what they cannot do.
Okay.
They tend to just develop better and achieve more things and are more happy as well. And we need to do both. We need to understand it, but we also need to make sure that we focus on the strengths. It's not such an easy thing, but I think it's got a little bit too much to one side today yet. I think we have still another part to add to it. Again, focus on the strengths. If you tell a bird to fly, but you say, look, think the whole time about that one of your wings isn't really working really well. I don't know if that bird will dare to jump off a house.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, oh yeah, we saw that. Oh, but there's a lot of birds to fly with one wing. Let's forget about it. Come on, just try. You know what I mean? Like focus on the strengths.
I think that's okay. That's very valuable. I like the analogy of the bird. For parents, I think it's really up to them to make sure their kid is in a strength-based environment. That's up to the parent to identify what those strengths are and then provide experiences. Because realistically, most of the time, that's not going to happen from school.
I'm sure you have that experience because it should be a little bit school as well. So that is the whole challenge. If we think about intelligence a little bit broader, and we want really every child to discover and fall in love with the things that they can do really well, right? That's what we want for every child. In a perfect world, we'd be like that.
Okay, so to summarize, giftedness is basically performing off the charts in one or more areas.
Yes.
Does it automatically mean that you have deficits in other areas?
Do you know a person who's good at everything?
No, But for example, my son, extremely high IQ, could read really early, musically gifted, speech delay.
Yes, so it's so true that all these different skills and capabilities, abilities, they're all developing at their own pace and rhythm. So if, you know, you develop one thing really much, maybe another part is not yet so developing. So
asynchronous development brain totally. Is something to yes. look out for.
Yes, and that's why in general, I would say to parents, take it a touch more relaxed, everything, honestly, because of all these different possibilities of diagnosis. Parents also start to worry more. Am I doing enough for my child? Am mm-hmm. I doing it? And generally speaking, when you have a good emotional bond with your child, try to attune to things they like and love to do, you're ready to do so much. The biggest danger for a parent, what I've seen from many years working with children, is when the parents lose this emotional contact with their child, if there's like attention and there's already so much. I just want to say that as a general thing, because really I've had many parents who have perfectly healthy, good children, there's nothing wrong, who are so worried about so many things of, but that is like ADHD or that is like autism.
What is the percent of the population that's gifted? What is the percent of people that are really off the charts? It's much more likely that your kid has autism. And talk to me about the differences, because I know you brought in some chart about overlap.
Yeah, recently there's more and more insights on, so a lot of very gifted children are then also diagnosed as autistic. And recently there's more and more insights in the symptoms might be a little bit the same, but the underlying reason is not the same. So we misdiagnose children that are gifted for also being autistic. An example is, for example, this overwhelm of sensations, of sensory stimulation.
Sensory overload.
Sensory overload. So a gifted child would rather have it in areas where it's somehow very meaningful for them in an emotional way. They can be more like overwhelmed, but not everywhere. And very autistic child would be probably overwhelmed in most areas. You understand?
I don't understand. If I hear an ambulance go by, and to me that's like a stage 5 alarm in my body, is that something because I'm gifted in hearing, I don't understand.
That is really super loud, right? Compared to all other noises. So logically you have a reaction to that. Where autistic children would have, even when it's just for others very normal noises, would feel this same kind of reaction. And someone who's very gifted can also feel this overwhelm of sensation, but in specific areas only. Do you understand? Kind of hypersensitivity, but only if something is worth feeling, you could say.
So they're able to tune it out sometimes.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Another thing is, for example, very gifted children would be, when you look at the eye contact, very autistic children will really avoid any eye contact. But very gifted children would now and then just also look at you and be deeply in their thoughts.
I remember when my son was born, my friend came over and she was like, I feel like he's staring deep into my soul and judging me.
Exactly. But this is just pretty recent. And why I feel so strong about this is that it touches upon the worth and the dignity of every child, that we already very young say, you're like this. We have diagnosed you like this. And I'm just asked, I think we have to be really a touch more careful with these things because it has a huge effect, even testing on children. If I say, look, we're going to do a test and you have to say, is this apple green or red? And they say it wrong. They will forever in their life remember, we did this test and I said the wrong color. I mean, we don't even realize how sensitive children really are when we test them for all these kind of things, even the testing itself.
I hear you. But if you're a parent and you don't know what the future holds and you have a kid who can't talk or is missing milestones, that sends alarm bells. And if you have a kid in school who, you know, can't read and everybody else can, that sends alarm bells as a parent. So you're supposed to notice, like, sometimes I get eye contact and sometimes he freaks out about sounds, sometimes he doesn't. That's a difficult position to be in as a parent.
Yeah, totally agree with you that it is hard for parents nowadays because there's so much more known, and that makes it also more, am I doing everything right? And that's why I say, because in generations before, I think parents weren't,
they were more chill.
I'm not accusing, but it's important that parents themselves go inform themselves more, which is I think, totally good to do that. And it's not easy because you have to really go to so many different places to really understand what's more and more.
Yeah. All you hear as a parent is like early intervention. You need early intervention. If you don't have early intervention, your kid's going to be a screw up forever, whatever, which is not even true. But that's how you feel at the beginning of this kind of journey. And I want to go back to the question of what percent of the population is gifted versus autistic, for example. So if you have a kid that maybe is good at stuff, but bad at stuff, and you're confused.
Yeah. So it really depends how you define, of course, giftedness. Like I said before, everyone has their own talents. But in general, they would say 2.5% of the population, you would say, is very high on this
giftedness.
Logical, mathematical thinking. And so you call them gifts. And from those are like 10 to 20%, for example, also autistic, because autism ADC is the same amount in the whole population as in the gifted population, of course, because it's just that you're higher on this spectrum or on measuring, but the same, do you understand? Mm-hmm. Same amount of people are autistic in the giftedness population as in the normal population.
It's not over-indexed.
No, totally not. Interesting. Nothing. Okay. In fact, nothing.
Since you do have your chart there, can you go over what the overlap symptoms between autism, gifted, and ADD?
And can I just say one other little thing that I need to say before?
Yeah.
In our day and age, what is really important is that which is actually in the European definition of giftedness, is that we want to help children develop for themselves, for their own well-being, and to live, to develop their own potential. But we also want them to contribute something good to society. And when you look at the States, it can come from Ivy League universities, but it doesn't mean that you also do things that are good for society. Bob Sternberg says that is part of giftedness should be wisdom, that we actually do something good with it, because you can do really something very foolish also.
But you said giftedness doesn't necessarily mean wise.
Exactly, but it's all how we define it. So that's the whole thing, because all in the beginning you said there's something weird about this giftedness thing. And the weirdness about it is that we created kind of this elitist group. And we say those are really very special. But are they so special, right? Shouldn't we say we define as a society people are wise, who use their giftedness for something good, who have empathy? Would we not define that as giftedness? So we define, but people have made this test to say how good they are, and then they pass it on to others to say how good they are. Mm. Is this really how, as a society, and that's where also a little bit of resentment comes sometimes from, is it a white male thing? Is it something for the whole society? Are we doing something good with this?
I understand that. Yeah. And there is a move, I think in Washington State or something, that the gifted education is discriminatory, so they want to get rid of it.
There, I don't agree again, because I think every child should be helped to develop everything we want that for every child. And these children do feel sometimes so different that they, for example, become depressed. And you said like they're acting out. When a child of 10 years old is very gifted, is very difficult to handle and is very aggressive. You should think of depression, for example, because they're just under challenged. They don't have the right environment. So I don't agree to say we shouldn't help them. As a society, we do want to help every talent to develop. And these children too need that.
Yeah. And I think it's discriminatory to make a kid who's taught himself how to read at 3 have to sound out the alphabet 3 years later. But yeah. Like nobody cared.
It's not so good, because then, like I said, they can become demotivated and that goes into depression later. So
how old usually are the kids that get identified as gifted?
You can do like a full intelligence test or some kind of screening, and screening is not everywhere yet done. Like I said, in the beginning, it's a potential, right? They're not so good. They need to learn everything, but you start somewhere. So to make sure that they can, like the first years of primary school, for example. Again, I want to say to parents also who are very gifted children, it's nice to create opportunities and so on. But sometimes I think parents think they can change more on this giftedness of their child than they really can. You can help to develop it. How can I say? It's like a flower that if you give it water and a good air or something, it will already
bloom,
grow.
But yeah. You can't change the shape.
You don't have to make, I don't know, some kind of, I don't know, house around
greenhouse.
It. You understand?
Yeah.
And I think for parents, this worry comes sometimes from to be really also the best parent, which is great. And that's why I say the emotional connection is so important to your child. That's really important.
Let's talk about resources in Luxembourg. So if you suspect that your kid maybe is gifted, what do you do? What can we do here?
In Luxembourg, we have a lot of competency centers where parents can go. They can also, in their schools, go to, there's always a little psychologist group in schools, right? They can also go there or talk with a teacher. But really, we don't always need to diagnose something, because teachers, when they see a child, is very quick at learning. They can give more to learn, for example, or make it jump a class. That's another thing. Actually, I really want to say is that what often is done with very gifted children, because they're emotionally maybe more playful, they think, oh, we got to keep it a year longer in 1 year.
Hold the child back.
Yes, for their social emotional well-being. And that is, research clearly shows that's wrong. You rather put a child that's gifted in a higher class, because mm-hmm. they become more calm seeing these older children and their intellectually more stimulated. You can't stop the intellectual development. You can't say, okay, we do it for the socio-emotional development and stop the intellectual development. It's not possible.
Right.
So you can't stop it. So you have to rather think class higher than a class lower, or keep it. That is really something that's so important. So you don't need to diagnose it. I've had children who wanted to be diagnosed, and you talk a bit why and what does it add, and in fact, nothing. Because it's also like a load on your shoulders. If you know you have 150 IQ and you want to become a gardener later, you think, oh, I didn't use all my potential, and which is...
Maybe not. Maybe you don't care.
From experience, it's a number that kind of, you know, even if it's more malleable than we thought it was, it's something that sticks, like I said, with this apple green or red, it sticks with you. Oh, I was diagnosed as really high gifted, and now look what I did with my life. So does it add really to test it, or is it just better to go after your interests?
I think that if you're a parent, you're going to reach out if something's wrong.
Exactly.
If they're struggling in something.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's a good reason to then do
it. Okay, so... Yeah. Start with your teacher.
Yeah.
Start with the psychologist at school. Yeah. I know there's the high potential office in mm-hmm. Luxembourg.
Yeah.
One of those centers mm-hmm. of competence.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of private practices as well. But
here in Luxembourg,
it's okay. And you don't even have to bring your child right away. You could also just go as parents to be informed better of what's going on. Yeah.
Are there any free online screenings that we could add to the show notes?
I wouldn't go there, because I can see from practice that a lot of these things are interpreted in really wrong ways.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's very interesting interpretations of these things. So I wouldn't do that.
That's funny, because for ADHD, the psychologist is like, here you go. Here's this checklist. Take it at your leisure. Okay. Anything else that you would like to share with parents who maybe wonder if their kid is gifted? I got the memo, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So mm-hmm. if there's no problem, you don't need to pursue this just to have it.
Never to forget that you have a potential, but it all comes from the commitment, the motivation, the effort. Yes, one thing is good is for parents to always know, even if they're diagnosed as gifted, to just realize it's the effort that counts. We know also from research that people are not so super gifted, but have a super motivation and put in a lot of effort, they actually achieve much more. So when a child comes home with a good grade, it's not a grade which should be praised, but more the effort of doing it. And even if you don't have such a good grade, but you put in the effort and you're motivated.
What if you got really good grades, but you didn't put in any effort?
Yeah, so that is why the thing is, the risk is, if they then come home with not a good grade, they think they're nothing. If you say they're really good because they have a 10 out of 10, and the next day they come with a 4 out of 10, with 10 out of 10 you say, you're fantastic. So when they come home with a 4 out of 10, they think, oh, I'm actually nothing. And they don't want to disappoint their parents, and then they go into the spiral of, oh, I'm bad, and how do I get out of it?
So make it about the effort, not
always
the end result.
Yes, always.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Henrique, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.